Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Join us live each week as we journey into the world of passion. Want to live life passionately? Finding your passion could be the difference between living life in the everyday and living life with meaning and purpose. Take these weekly lessons into life and business. Interact with your host, Tony Lontis, and her Passion Project facilitator, Peter Wallman, as we conduct a passion mapping exercise with Tony live on air. Passion is everything. Good evening, everyone, and good morning to those listeners in Australia. You're live with Tony Lontis on The Passion Project, and today we will be talking to the amazing Janet Christensen, all the way from London in Canada. So prior to starting her own business, Janet had 25 years of success in the corporate world in senior management, sales and personnel. She received official recognition for her performance and contribution from the Canadian Diabetes Association, Realty World, Canada and Kelly Services. Janet is a graduate of Western University and has a unique blend of experience with accreditations in power coaching, performance management coaching, coaching for success, retirement options, pre-retirement coaching, and she is also a master passion map coach. She's worked with a diverse range of clients, including corporate, entrepreneurial, and private individuals, and she has authored several published articles and co-authored over 20 books, among them including The Coaching Gurus, The Power of Transformation, Creating a Blueprint for Inner Change, Breaking Free, Overcoming Self-Sabotage. She is a recipient of the 2013 Professional Women Network Literary Award, and currently Janet works all around the world with clients, sharing her experience through leadership training, customized programs, keynote presentations, and coachings. She's passionate about helping individuals and creating organizations that want permanent positive change and achieve the results that they desire. Hello, Janet.
Hello, Tony and audience.
It's so lovely to have you with me. As we were waiting to go live on air, we started a conversation about Canada, and my comment was that normally I'm flying directly into Canada, and my answer to Janet's question is usually Vancouver or Edmonton. My brother lives in Cranbrook near Kimberley. He's an ex-Australian who's been in Canada for 28 years, married a lovely Canadian girl. So I have a great love of Canadians and Canada in general. Been a number of times and just adore it. So today we want to talk a little bit about you and your passion mapping journey. So you've got a lot of experience in the realm of coaching. Were you always drawn to that sort of work, Janet?
I think it drew me versus yes. The other way around. I took some personal development work back in the early 90s, yes. And I came out of that going, this is the work that I want to do. Uh-huh. And so in 2001, I left the corporate world to start my own business.
Yes.
And I got started getting my coaching accreditations.
Yeah.
And one night, another coach, acquaintance of mine, and I went to Toronto
yes.
to see a coaching. It was for a coaching group. And they had this guest speaker named Peter Wallman from Australia uh-huh. who was doing a presentation. And he took us through a sampling of passion mapping.
Yes.
And I was just so drawn to this. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, I want to do my passion map. And he said, well, this was in October 14th, I remember.
Yes.
And in 2003. And yes. he said, I might be back next year. And I said, no, you don't understand. I want to do my passion map now. And he said, well, I'm on my way to Montreal. Anyway, things manifested in a way that yes. in November, his colleague who was working with him at the time ended up coming back from Australia to the US.
Yes.
We convinced her to come up to Toronto because there were several of us who wanted to do our passion maps.
Yes.
Did my passion map, was totally enthralled, knew the value of this, because as a coach and with working with people, it's very difficult to challenge and change things from the space that you're in. And this was such a wonderful tool to get people into a different space in order to be able to look at things progressively and look at options.
Yeah.
Anyway, then what we did was this group of people who were had done their passion maps convinced Peter we wanted to be trained. So I met him in October of 2003.
Yes.
And in February of 2004, there were three of us from Canada that flew to Australia to be trained. In less than 4 months, this happened.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And the true value is, as a coach, you could spend like 6 months with a client, and that's costing them their time and money.
Yes.
And it could be frustrating to find where they are and where they want to go.
Uh-huh.
And passion mapping is such an excellent way to connect people to themselves, so in a much deeper, more meaningful way.
Yes.
And then they can get on the path, and then you coach, and you might only need to coach for 2 or 3 months after that. So it's it has made an incredible difference in my life, but also in lives of clients. It's just amazing when I see people blossom into the people that the person they're meant to be.
Yeah. And so you've had lots of success with your clients using the passion mapping process, haven't you?
I lost you there with what you asked me.
That's okay. That's no problem. That's what happens sometimes with live technology. It just up and disappears.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had lots of success with clients and corporate in using passion mapping to draw out what they're most passionate about, yeah?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it's interesting. When I was doing my training in Australia, one of the things that we did was we worked with each of us on the training worked with six people to do a practicum passion map.
Yes.
And so this was back in 2004. And I worked with one of the gentlemen that I worked with doing the practicum. About 5 years later, I got an email from him saying, "Thank you so much. Doing my passion map changed my life dramatically." He said, I've left Australia, I've moved to England, and I've started a global investment company that is ecologically responsible, and he's thriving in this.
Yes.
And I had not had contact with him because he wasn't my client. I just worked with him, but he said, "This changed my life."
Yeah.
And that is, I've seen that happen. And I just submitted a chapter for a book yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's on self-care.
Yes.
And I used a case of a client I worked with, again, a corporate client, on a retreat that we did with passion mapping. There were, I think, 5 or 6 facilitators, and we did this retreat. And this woman was doing, she highly successful, but on many levels, but she was pushing herself so hard. She used to fly from San Francisco to New York. She'd tuck her children into bed, get on a plane, sleep on the plane, fly to New York, deal with her client all day, fly back to San Francisco, hoping to get there in time to tuck her children into bed the next night. She used to do that twice a week.
Oh.
And she thought, you know, everyone's going, "Oh, you're so successful," and everything. And she was so fit, but she realized she was fit in order to push herself to the limit. She was self-abusive. Yeah. She was pushing herself so hard. It ended up, after working with her, she really stepped back and went, "I need to honor and myself, my family." She ended up leaving that position and going, working with their, in Washington at the White House.
Yes.
But she wasn't doing all the crazy traveling. She still had a meaningful job. But it's just, she found it wakes people up to their potential and what is working in their lives and what they would love to change.
Yeah, because sometimes you think you know what you're passionate about and what might be driving you, but until you do a defined process like passion mapping, it makes it so much more powerful, and it also makes it clearer because that's that connection to your conscious mind and the body connection of your unconscious mind makes it so much more powerful, doesn't it, Jenna? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. And, you know, from the time we're born,
yes,
we're measured on what we do, what we achieve,
yes,
and all the way through, even in infancy, oh, you're walking now, or you're learning to talk and doing all this. Yes. And then we go to school and we're constantly measured and evaluated. And if you're playing sports, you're measured and evaluated, and all the way through. And people ask young people as they're growing up, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they never ask them, how do you want to be? We're never asked, who and how do you want to be? And what difference do you want to make in the world? And it's about stepping back to that space. And when we're connected with that, that's how we show up differently. And that's how we are fulfilled and have meaning in our lives. And that's what passion mapping helps us find.
Yeah. Have you had the opportunity to work with many young people in this process? Because the thought always occurs to me when we have these lovely conversations about passion, it's sometimes the older of us that do these sort of things. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to give all of those young adults just about to leave school a passion map, and so that they knew very clearly, oh, I love that, or I don't love that, or and direct them rather than doing what people tell them they should do or what they think they should do. They're solely focused on their passions, whatever that might be.
I have had that opportunity, yes, and it has been so rewarding.
Yes.
I've worked with several young people in their early 20s,
yes,
who have been at that point where they're in school, they're mm-hmm. trying to figure out what to do, and they're
uh-huh.
they're realizing what they're doing isn't making them happy, and so what do I do now? And
yeah.
stepping back, and it's like giving them permission to think
yes.
outside of the box.
Yeah.
And what they've done is, I know these at least two of them I know still,
yes,
we're still in touch, and I did their passion maps years ago.
Yeah.
And they're now highly successful in
yes.
doing what they love.
Yes.
And in great relationships, and, you know, are becoming parents, and
yeah.
and it has just given them so much meaning in their life and a really great sense of direction and the courage to follow what
yes.
turns their crank.
Yes,
you know, what's
absolutely.
Getting them out of bed in the morning. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Janet, do you always find that once people are keyed into their passions, the success follows, or success in their terms follows?
Yes, I would say for sure. And sometimes in surprising ways, and
yes.
in ways that they never thought possible. And
yes.
sometimes people start and just wanting to make a small change, you know, just
yes.
a small change or something a little different. And then it blossoms, because
yes.
what happens is they find their self, they find that beauty within.
Yes.
They find their passion. And yeah. it's like they get on a roll, and
yeah.
it's amazing. It's really
yeah.
amazing to see them get up and go and
yeah.
Really thrive
and
be courageous. They have, it gives
yes.
them courage to step
yes.
out, step up and step out.
Yes. There's something about that clarity behind what drives you, and knowing that without any doubt, it tends to give you that courage to follow that thing that you love the most, doesn't it?
Yes. And the amazing thing is that the energy that they bring to where they dedicate themselves, there are surprising things that show up for them.
Yes.
That they manifest.
Yes.
Because they are so, and it's not even part of their plan. It's just their intention is, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this somehow. And the resources and the people and the opportunities
show up
and help them do it. Yeah.
It's something about that energy, isn't it, Janet? It's something about that energy that you release into the world that attracts what you want, what you need, the people that you need to be connected to, the people that you need to be talking to. And it fascinates me, absolutely fascinates me. And this is from a person who used to always be concerned and worry about where the next thing was coming from and how am I going to get into that or how am I going to meet that person. Now it just happens. I don't know how it does, but it just does. And it fascinates me each and every week now that I'm very clear on my passions and anything that is within that realm of my passions, and I stick to that and I use it as a barometer, I guess, in business and in life. And if it fits into that passion map of mine, then it's a yes. If it doesn't, then it's a no, and I'm actually quite okay with that, which has been a big discovery for me, that you don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to say yes to every opportunity that's offered to you. You don't have to say yes to every collaboration, but the ones that mean the most to you, they will just come to you. And it's a fascinating process. So Janet, you've written or co-authored these amazing books, and I was looking at your body of work last night. And so are you still going to continue writing, do you think? Because you've got these wonderful books, you know, The Coaching Gurus, The Power of Transformation, Creating the Blueprint for Inner Change, Breaking Free, Overcoming Self-Sabotage. That would be that one I've got on my list to go back on Amazon and see if I can still get it.
I think you probably could through, Professional Woman Publishing, Actually,
it was there.
I'm on the hook for two books of my own. And I'm actually right now about halfway, three quarters of the way through writing my own book, which is called MIA. And it's about missing in action, what I was talking about before, about how we get so programmed doing what we think we're supposed to do. And so I'm planning to have that finished and to the publisher before the beginning of August.
You're on a deadline.
And I'll give you a spoiler alert. It starts out as MIA for missing in action.
Yes.
But it turns into, instead of missing in action, it turns into MIA becomes I am, and it's inspired, authentic, and mindful.
Yeah.
So it's about how just making these switches that with our focus, how it transforms our lives.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then the other one that is called Leading from Behind.
Yes.
And that's about, I've worked with a lot of leaders, and it's not about being up front, the person in the front going, follow me, I have all the answers.
Yes.
It's about true leadership is really about helping people find their own gifts, talents, purpose, and helping them develop that.
Yeah.
It's not about being the go-to person. It's about being the support person.
Yeah.
So I've actually, the publisher has got her accounting firm to fund at least good part of the book with that one.
That's so I'm phenomenal.
On the hook with that one too. So I'm still writing.
Good to know. That's fantastic. So, which leads us to, we've just touched on that subject of leadership, and I'm pretty passionate about good leadership. And I just am tempted to ask you about a commentary on some of the leadership we're seeing across the world at the moment.
Am I allowed to gag?
Yes.
some of the leadership that we are seeing from the so-called leaders is abysmal, in my opinion.
Thank you, Janet, because I was going to say I'm truly horrified at the leadership we're seeing across the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much we're going to have to do to see some of that inspirational leadership come to the fore. So just in our little Asia Pacific area, we have an amazing New Zealand Prime Minister.
Yes. She is awesome.
Yes. That's great leadership. And if we could clone her across the world, just imagine what an amazing world we would have.
Yes. Yes, it would be truly amazing. And actually, this the chapter that I just submitted was for a book that's called The New Female Leader. So it was on leadership, but I wrote about self-care. And that self-care is not selfish, it's actually vital. But as a leader, that they need to model self-care as well, not push people to the limit, but to model that self-care.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, with the New Zealand Prime Minister, she is truly amazing. And we need more people like that. It's not about power and control.
No.
We need collaborative leadership.
Yes.
Not this, here I'm the big, you know,
big boss and you'll just do as I say.
Yeah. It's very sad when you see what's going on. And I think...
You would see it watching the US and in particular reference to the US, because I do so much of my work in the US, and I feel a great sense of hurt for what the American people are going through at the moment. Mm-hmm. I feel very sad for their country. And that's from the outside looking in. And in talking to lots of Americans, there's a great many of them that don't realize just how the world is seeing the once great United States of America. And that's so sad.
It is. It's really sad. And I'm hoping that actually, I think the combination of the pandemic and the economy and other things that are happening right now, that, you know, the situation in the States with police and that this is actually a great turning point, and
I hope so.
A time of opportunity,
yes,
for things to shift and change.
Yes,
and because all the protests and everything have gone global.
Yes,
and so I think there is that sense of energy. It's a disruptive time, and I am hoping that this helps us, you know, shift and move in a different direction.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Because I feel like we've had enough of, and I don't mean this in a horrible way, but white male privileged leadership has to end. And I don't say that as an attack on men. It's just a comment on white male leadership in so many countries across the world. And for the world to change and for humanity to grow, we need a change in that sort of leadership. Mm-hmm. And again, Jacinta is at the forefront of showing how real leadership is done. And she also seems to epitomize female leadership in a feminine essence. So she's not trying to be a male. She's very much a woman, but she does it in a beautiful, gentle, wonderful way that is inspiring to watch, actually.
Yes, it is. And I've heard her speak, and I've been, you know, following it.
Yes.
And we get way too much Trump news up here.
I was just going to, are you over Trump conspiracy and tweeting and
yes. And so it's refreshing to get news about New Zealand and how they've handled the pandemic. And I mean, I know that there are, I think part of the issue is that for a lot of women, they're going, there's no way I want to get involved in being in that kind of energy and that.
Because it's toxic, isn't it, Janet?
It's toxic. Like
toxic.
Yeah. I was approached a few years ago by somebody in the city here asking and suggesting that I run for city council. And I said, no, thank you. I said, I value my time and my life. And I know some city councillors. And no, I don't want to get involved in this. Not the way it's currently done.
Yeah.
You know, but someone has to step up and change it. But it's interesting because we have our provincial minister here, representative, and our federal representative are both female in our riding here.
And I guess, like, from your perspective, that your work is in creating some of those wonderful women's or women who will be leaders of the future. Because it has to change, doesn't it, Janet? Like, it just, we cannot keep doing government the way that we are currently doing it, because we need people to step up. And I actually believe that there are men in this world who can lead from that better leadership stance. We're just not seeing them actively across the world at the moment.
Yes, I agree that there are, it's not gender based. Attitude and awareness based leadership, I think.
Yes.
And that's what we need. And we need, you know, both genders working together to make the world a better place, for sure.
Because that's the best of both worlds, when you have men and women working together who are empowered to elicit change. We will see such a, you know, that's my hope for my grandson. And Peter tells me you have quite a tribe of grandchildren.
11 of them and two great granddaughters. Yes.
Oh.
In fact, the oldest is 25, and she is a mechanical engineer.
Oh, and wonderful.
Yeah. And there's 9 boys and 2 girls, grandchildren, and then 2 great-granddaughters. But they range in age. Well, the youngest will be 14 this summer. And I became a grandmother when I was 43.
Yes.
So I was very young, and I feel so blessed to have this gang.
Isn't it
kids.
A blessing to...
They are
the same. I had my children young, so I've got, you know, a 32-year-old and a 4-year-old grandson, and I truly feel blessed because I have a particular passion for women who enter their 40s, 50s, and 60s. I think it's an amazing time for women. An amazing time to be very clear on what you're passionate about, and that whole wisdom that comes with age is just the best thing about getting older. And you would know as well, Janet, there's just something precious and very wonderful about aging and wisdom.
And I feel I'm very grateful that I'm a young grandmother, relatively young to this.
Yes.
Gang, because I didn't know, I knew only 2 of my grandparents, but we moved from England. I was born in England, and we moved when I was 6 to Canada, and I really didn't know my grandparents, even when we lived in England. I didn't live near them. So for me, this gift of having these grandchildren is just amazing. Just amazing. And
Janet, are
so
they
grateful.
All over Canada or all over the world or close to you or?
There's only, none of them are close to, well, our one daughter lives in London, but her 2 sons are about 100 kilometers away, so not too far. But our oldest son lives in just outside of Edmonton in Alberta.
Yes.
And the others live about 2.5-3 hour drive away.
Okay.
So, you know, not next door, but we get to see them once in a while.
I have the best memories of West Edmonton Mall when I took my first trip to Canada. My children were 8 and 10, and the Spice Girls were performing in West Edmonton Mall. So we came from a small country town. So just the size of that place blew us away. But then the kids being able to see the Spice Girls in the mall. I have the most wonderful memories of that time in Edmonton, ice skating on my brother's house was close to a little lake, and taking them ice skating on the lake for the first time. And yeah, wonderful memories of Canada, seeing snow for the first time in Banff of all places, like completely magical place for, you know, your first snow sighting. And I've been in love with snow ever since. So I'm pretty, I wish we had snow where we lived now, but and we don't have much snow in Australia in comparison to Canada, of course. You've got just those glorious mountains and scenery, just truly beautiful place. So besides finishing the books, Janet, what else have you got planned for 2020 and on into 2021?
Well, let's see. It's all up in the air, because usually my husband and I go to Baja, Mexico for about 5 months in the winter.
Oh,
and we have a trailer down there, and my husband's a windsurfer, and we're on the Baja Peninsula, just north of Los Cabos.
Yes.
And we live in a trailer, a fifth wheel trailer on the beach.
Yeah.
And we have family and friends down there from all across Canada and the US. But who knows if we'll be able to go this year?
Pandemic.
So that's all up in the air. So we will see what happens with that. We may be spending the winter here in Canada. but other than that, I'm finishing the two books is kind of high on my list. And our, actually, I'm hoping our son and his wife and their three kids from outside of Edmonton will be coming to visit us in August.
Yeah.
Because they haven't met their cousins on this side of the country yet. So, so we're hoping that happens. And just sowing, planting a seed here. When our grandkids turn 10, they got a trip with me. So we, to celebrate, because then they're old enough to pull their own carry on.
And they're
pretty obnoxious, and they still listen. And and so it's, and that has been, I'm all about creating memories with them. I'm sowing that seed for you with your grandkids, because it is so great to go and spend that time with them. And I've done a variety of things, whitewater rafting week and Disney and all kinds of stuff with them.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Archer's 10, and maybe we could do this and this and this. He's just so much part of our life. He lived with us as a little person, and he visits, and he this is like his second home. So he just goes off with Poppy, and they go and talk to the goats and play with the llamas and go down to the creek and climb trees and all sorts of things. So he's very special, and it's unlikely that we'll have any other grandchildren for a little while yet. My son's actually in New Zealand and working on his career, so it'll be a little while yet. But yes, I'm thinking ahead to when Archer is 10, that would be wonderful, because I'd love to be able to take him to places like Canada that is just so big and beautiful and so much to see. So yes, let's hope that this whole virus situation ends quite soon would be good, although I think it'll probably be a couple of years before it's completely through its cycle. How's Canada fared with the virus?
We've had over 100,000 cases and about 8,000 deaths. What has been Ontario and Quebec, which are the two largest provinces, have been hit the hardest. So where we are, Toronto, biggest, largest city in Canada. It's been hit, and Quebec has had a lot. But what's really sad is in Ontario and Quebec, the biggest victims of this have been people who are in seniors' residences and old age homes, retirement homes. And it has just a lot. And interestingly, in the privately owned ones, because they switch personnel around, actually of the about 8,000 deaths, about 5,000 have been in seniors' residences in the two provinces.
Yeah.
So that has been devastating. And hopefully they're going to look at this in how they're managing these. Because that's been the biggest victims have been seniors in the homes.
Yeah.
Other than that, we've not fared too badly. But that's been devastating.
Yeah. I remember talking to my brother and him being terribly distressed about what was happening in aged care in Canada during the virus, and talking about people just leaving the aged care with no care, no personnel, and people just passing because there was no one to look after them. Yeah. So is your aged care system run federally? Or
no, provincially.
State.
Provincially.
Okay.
But what they did was they brought the army in. They brought military medical personnel in to go into the homes and provide the care that they needed. And they actually submitted a report that cited all of the shortcomings.
Yes.
So it was publicly. There was already public awareness, but this kind of pushed it over, which was great because now they're going to have to do something about it.
Good. Yeah. In Australia, our is managed federally and by the states, and we actually have national quality and safety standards that govern the type of care that they give and the services that they have to provide. So, but then again, we've been very lucky in Australia. We had border closure and a shutdown and quarantine of anyone coming in from overseas, and our state borders are still not open. Not all of them are open, and there's still no international travel unless you're an Australian resident. So, again, incredibly lucky that we did those things, and it's protected us, thankfully, from a bigger issue like what Canada, UK, US and other places have experienced. So I know that when I used to work in corporate health, that we used to prepare for pandemic, but I think that successive governments has not seen the importance of preparing for pandemic, so that those bodies of work and that preparedness had fallen off the radar, and it's come back onto their radar in a very big way because of the health and economic impacts of this pandemic. So,
For sure. Yes.
Well, Jenna, I've just looked at the time and I'm thinking Peter will think that we've forgotten him. So Peter, do you want to come on and have a quick chat to Janet? He might be off snoozing. In which case you and I can continue talking for the rest of the show.
There he is.
I won't chat, but I will acknowledge you and say thank you, Janet. It's lovely to see you.
Hello, Peter.
Smiling face.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'd normally be in Canada this time of the year.
I know. It's lovely here, the weather, but not any... You'd have to
stop
quarantine.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So we're just preparing for Canada Day.
Yes.
We run Canada Day when we're here.
Oh, okay. That's good.
My partner Mia is Canadian, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. So lovely to see you. Thanks for...
Nice to see you.
Giving us some time to hear your wisdom.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hope to be there at least next year.
Yes. Well, fingers crossed. Yes. And thank you for this opportunity to share and to chat with
you. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Janet. And I look forward to seeing those books. Make sure you let me know when they're ready.
I will.
And it will be, I'm looking forward to doing some more research around your other books because I'm sure they're fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Have a wonderful evening, and thank you for staying up late with us and being on Radio Tony and the Passion Project.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Lucky last, Janet. Lucky last.
Yep, take care.
Yes. Bye, Janet.
Bye.
Hey, Peter.
Hi. It's almost sad. This is the last.
I know. It's almost sad.
Last interview.
I know, our last Passion Maps interview, not the last for Radio Tony. Radio Tony will still be on next week, but I think Radio Tony will convert to talking business and business strategy, but I'll keep you posted on that. But this is our last conversation with Peter and the Passion Project, and it was wonderful to finish with Janet and her enormous expertise around coaching and leadership, and what a wonderful conversation that was.
Yeah, she's really a beautiful woman. And
yeah,
I mean, she was the one that started our work in North America, you know, by insisting that we run a program here. And so that was lovely to see her. And I mean, I feel really proud that people like this are in the network. There's something about this work that attracts amazing people. Like, I don't know what it is, but
it
just does. Is. So when I think back through the different people who you've interviewed, I mean, they've all been amazing in their own right.
They have. And they're all amazing, but they're all uniquely amazing with their different wonderful ways in which they work and how they work with people. But the one thing that has been through all of the coaches has been that agreement that by helping people find their passion and aligning themselves with their passion, it helps in so many ways in life and work and business and again, growing that body of people that are living passionately and not just doing the daily grind or going to work because that's what they've always done or that's what they have to do, but finding what they're passionate about and doing that has brought so much change. And that's verified by each one of the coaches that we've talked to. And it's a lovely thing to share with the world how finding your passion can drive your life forward and help you achieve all the things that you want to achieve. And also the diversity of people that it helps, from just, you know, wonderful everyday people going about their job to higher level leaders and people from across the world. So it's a wonderful program, Peter, and I've been really felt quite it's been a wonderful thing to be involved in. And I feel privileged that you allowed me to go on that journey with you in front of the audience of people and to spread the news of what passion mapping can mean in your life.
Well, it's an honour for me too, Tony. I mean, it's you're a pretty passionate person anyway. But, you know, but I am on a mission with this. You know, I just think that this issue of kids, oh, you can walk now, or you can, you know, you can stand up, you can walk, you can, you know, you can read, you can get your 10, you know, you can start to read words, you can start to do this and this and this, and never people saying, well, who do you want to be?
Yeah.
Or being congratulated on demonstrating compassion or love or, you know, it's all about what you've done.
Yeah.
And of course, when you, in the passion space, it's all about who you are and how you express that in the world.
Yeah.
And I think the world would be very different, you know, definitely. As I'm on a bit of a mission, you know, with this work, because it's a great equalizer too, because we all have our own unique passions.
Yeah.
And as you know, sometimes we think of people in high places in companies. Yeah. But in fact, often they're right out of touch with who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The conversation with Janet about world leadership, some of those guys are definitely not living their passion, are they?
No, they're certainly not. I mean, they're living from their heads. Yeah. If you're living your passion, you're living from your heart and soul, you know. And if you're living from your head and...
Sorry, Peter, I just had the funniest thought of getting Donald Trump to do his passion map. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Well, I'd do it. You get me into the White House, Tony, and I'd be happy to do it.
I don't think he would even entertain it, but, like, Could you imagine that the change that it would bring about for him?
Yeah,
well, more importantly for Malena.
But it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
But I had a situation here where one of the senior women in cabinet wanted to, or not in cabinet, in basically opposition.
Yes. But,
wanted to do it, and then she went and talked to the leader.
Yeah.
And he just gave it a blanket no. No question, no nothing. And that was after we'd done, we'd done a program for 20 of the most leading women in the world with extraordinary results.
Wow.
So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, how that, I too, this white male dominance. And, you know, it's not about leadership, it's about dominance. How can I dominate?
Yeah.
How can I get my way, you know?
Yes.
That's what I think is a leader, but it's not. Yeah. We know it's not, but they don't.
Yeah. And that's right, Peter. We need more men and women, but we need men to be understanding these concepts and understanding that it shouldn't ever be ego-driven, and it should never be world dominance, that quiet, powerful empowerment of others to live their best lives. That will win any time, and it definitely has the power to change the world that we live in.
Yeah, it's sort of power within rather than power over.
Yes.
In fact, I once did a project for about 30 CEOs. This is not before the turn of the century, to talk about key issues. And it was really interesting how it broke into two groups. The first group were all about, you know, how do we change our external circumstances? How do we lobby the government for this, lobby the government for that, you know? And the other group was all about leadership and values.
Yes.
So even then, like 20 years ago, there was this real... There were people who were coming from a leadership place.
Yeah.
They were from a, you know, an ethical leadership place.
Yeah.
But also there's something about the way our organizations are designed, and it works against it, which is something that I'm also passionate about, looking at new ways of organization. That we're actually, one of the guiding principles is what people are passionate about.
Yeah.
Because if the gardening principle is what they're passionate about, it's coming from their humanity. So they're bringing humanity into what they do in the organization. Yeah. And of course, there's a lot of organizations out there that don't feel too human to me.
Well, so. if you thought about government and each of the different ministers who have a specific portfolio, imagine if you had a minister who in charge of finance who was actually really passionate about finance, or a minister of the environment who their guiding passion was about the environment. Imagine what that would do for government here in Australia.
That's if they could get past the overriding structure.
Yes. And I hope that those things are changing. Probably slower than I would like to see them change, but there does definitely feel like a groundswell of knowledge and acceptance that the humanity of we need to be embracing our humanity on all levels of government and organisations and corporate structures, and some of that's happening, but for others it's right not even on their agenda, which is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I love to see the way you bring it out into the world. You know, you're bringing these issues to your audience, and even if people are only sort of thinking about them now, they may go away and think about them some more, or something else triggers a way that they can come from their truth more often.
Yeah. It's definitely about planting the seed that might inspire someone someday. And it's awesome that we can start to have these conversations freely with using the power of the internet, and in particular online radio, because it gives people the power to listen to what they want to listen to without advertisements, and we can talk freely and openly about some of the wonderful things that are available to people to help them live their best lives. And at the end of the day, if you're following your passions, you're living your best life, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I noticed someone put in the chat an idea about a global environmental government.
Yes. Yes. Wouldn't that be amazing? A central body.
Amazing?
Yeah. A central body that has control over the environments of the world so that all of them get protected. You know, the Amazon, the Great Barrier Reef, and the beautiful big parks in the US, the Rockies. See, I can get excited about
that
sort of stuff.
There's plenty of work for you to do, right, on Radio Tony, that's for sure.
I know. Every week I think of another Radio Tony show that I could do. So I'll just have to keep growing and getting there. I've had one of those wonderful weeks where I've been approached by a number of really wonderful and amazing and unique people saying, could we do this? And I'm like, yeah, we probably could. We could probably do that. Let's look at what that might look like. So I'm having, one of those great weeks. And then to follow up, to start next week, you and I are going to meet and see how we can drive the passion mapping work forward. And so, life's pretty exciting. And again, it's because I put that Radio Tony, truth and justice, moments of joy and graciousness, and gratitude in the center of my passion map, and off it goes. It's amazing. As I said to Janet, you seem to just change your energy, change the energy that you're putting out into the world, and it starts to come back in a way that you never know how it's going to come back. But gosh, it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
And the weird thing for me is you change your map, you change yourself.
Yes.
You change yourself, you change the map. It's like an energetic sense of who we are, almost a spiritual sense of who we are.
Yeah.
At our deepest level.
Yeah.
So I can get pretty carried away talking about this. And it has been a fabulous time.
I know, but it's been so much fun to do it live on radio. And like we never would have done it if we hadn't been presented with the unique set of circumstances around a pandemic and your desire to try and get more of your stuff online and see how that works online, because, you know, the passion mapping process, you need to actually feel into your body some of those elements of what drives you. And I just feel like it's been such a success and such a wonderful experience to go from that face-to-face mode of delivery to the online delivery, and just see how wonderful that has been, and with the hope that you'll be able to reach so many more people using some of these new technology and formats.
Absolutely. So this has been a fantastic catalyst, Tony.
Good.
Not only we've done our first sort of online visible program, yes, we've also run in parallel our first online coach training program.
Yeah.
And it's also been a catalyst for a whole group of people within our community to reinvent us.
Yes.
In a totally different way, where the guiding principle is going to be the passions of the people,
passions and
humanity of the people involved.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one of the things that it won't be is hierarchical.
Yes.
Also it's been a catalyst for what I'm hoping will be a global passion
conversation.
Well, a summit where we get speakers.
Yeah.
And also following that, a global Bombora.
Yes. Oh,
and I've talked about
bonbons
before, which is you get enough energy behind in the sea and you get massive waves, you get enough energy of passion behind a particular topic,
yes,
and great ways of action happening. So that, I think, is now possible online, all thanks to you. And thanks, a lot of the thanks to you.
Aww.
But it has, it's opened up new ways of working, new ways of organising, new ways of being. And, of course, energy, there's a lot more energy than there is matter.
Yes.
You know, E equals MC squared, as they say.
Yeah.
C squared is one humongously big number. So a tiny bit of matter is a huge amount of energy, which is the atomic bomb, of course.
Yeah.
So why don't we manage it instead of managing our thoughts and managing, you know, so that's my, that's something that's exciting. And it's exciting to see it express yourself through that means, you know. I think we're going to change the world in many ways, Tony, with these sorts
of conversations, I really do.
These sorts of interviews, these sort of initiatives,
yes,
you know, and these random events that happen.
Yes.
If you're in tune with who you are and what's important to you.
You'll grab
they're not
them
actually random. They're the universe giving you messages.
Yeah. Oh, Peter, look, I just looked at the time and thought, oh, my God, Don's going to be booting us off the live stream any minute now. So listeners and watchers today, this is Radio Tony and the Passion Project, our last show. Radio Tony will continue. So stay tuned to see what we've got lined up for next week. Peter, thank you so much for the opportunity to do this work with you, to have the Passion Project live on Radio Tony, to do my passion mapping, and I can't wait to see what unfolds in the future collaboratively with us, and I look forward to that journey.
Why don't we book a time for a year hence where we can talk about what happened in the past 12 months.
Let's do that on Monday.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Let's do that on Monday. All right, people. Thank you so much for listening. We are completely out of time. I'm going to hand over to the wonderful Don, who is our engineer, and I'll say goodbye for now and see you all next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Radio Tony this week. Tune in next week for the next episode of Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Live streaming each week, part of the journey. Discover your passion, learn about your purpose, and connect with Tony and Peter. This show is proudly brought to you by Passion Maps. https://www.passionmaps.com. That's www.passionmaps.com. Live passionately every day. Use the code TONY to register for your own online deep dive program with Passion Maps. See you all next week. Bye for now.